welcome to the second episode of the Spin Axis podcast. I'm Eric Barzeski.
I'm Jason Nickel.
And I'm Tyson Deskins. We're excited to have you joining us today.
Today's episode is sponsored by the Fit for Golf app. It's the number one golf fitness app that's going to help golfers enjoy the game more, get you fitter, faster, and enjoy your life better, let alone from tee to green, but out in the world. Use the Fit for Golf app to enable you to move better, be stronger, and hit the ball further. If you want to save 20% off it, use code SPINAXIS at checkout.
Today's episode is going to cover the do's and don'ts of being a parent observing your child's lesson. Tyson, you teach a lot of juniors, so what's number one on your list of don'ts?
Number one on my list of don'ts would be don't speak for your child. And there's a couple of reasons behind that. You know, I think the first reason is when parents come in and speak for their child, you're taking ownership away. And I want golfers to own their golf swing and their golf game. The second reason is I think it causes undue stress, and the kids are in a stressed environment enough. They want to perform well. They want to hit good golf shots. And as soon as parents start to speak for the child, you can just see the stress levels raise. And that just never equals a good golf lesson for the junior golfer.
So what's an example of a parent speaking for their child? Would this be one? A parent shows up with their kid and they're like, yeah, Johnny's hitting everything to the right. Just can't seem to whatever.
100%. I hear it all the time. And when Johnny played in this tournament, he hit everything to the right. And I could just see him aiming wrong or whatever the case may be. And like the first thing that you always say is, well, you don't know what the child's intention was when they were hitting the shot. I've never seen a junior golfer, let alone any golfer, hit a bad golf shot on purpose, especially in a tournament sort of setting. And an important part of the puzzle is we must know what the intention of that golfer was first before we can even start to diagnose what the cause of the bad shot was. I think another part of the puzzle is, as I said, I want to hear from the junior golfer, why do you think you were hitting the golf shot to the right? You know, once again, if we don't know the intention, if we don't know the underlying reasons or what the golfer was thinking, we can't really start to self-diagnose that. And you want to hear the junior golfer take ownership of that. And I'm sure you've seen it over time in lessons at a golf tournament where a junior golfer hits a shot and the first thing they do is look back at mom or dad.
Yeah. So what do you do when, because I've had this happen where you are trying to engage the junior golfer. They're like, okay, what happened to the last tournament? How'd you play? What happened? He's like, good. And they're not saying a whole lot. Sometimes they'll say stuff like that. They'll say like, I played okay or not good or whatever. But then they kind of look over at their parent and it's like, maybe the parent's not even there, or like they're, you know, 20 feet away or they're 50 feet away or something like that. Like they're in the area maybe, but what do you do then when a junior golfer won't really say much, or they just don't say a whole lot? You know, it's usually newer players that you haven't been working with them for years, obviously, I would hope. But what do you do in that situation then? If the child won't speak, can the parent speak for the child in that case?
Yeah, there's definitely times, and I say this and with all of my parents, that the parents are going to be around that junior golfer way more than I will. So they are an integral part of the team. Let's say, to your example, the parents over on the phone, they've got a phone call, they're on the computer, whatever the case may be, and that junior golfer gives me that answer. You know, I'm definitely going to continue to prod, and I'm going to ask more questions. And I always make it known to junior golfers, regardless of the age, that this is a two-way street, right? And in order for me to help that junior golfer to the best of my ability, I need information and verbiage from that junior golfer. And so I'll find a way to ask and poke some more questions. Okay, when you say good, what does good mean? You know, what did you shoot? What club do you feel like you hit the best during that round? What club do you feel like you hit the worst in that round? And try to just engage that junior golfer in ways that they will then start to give me some answers so we can start the session.
So a do would be something like encourage your child to take accountability for their own play. Jason, do you have another do that you would add for your junior golfers, for the parents?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, first off, I would agree 100% with what you said there. And as a parent myself, and I like taking my kid to junior camps and getting to out there and seeing other kids and enjoying it out there. When your kid looks to you as a parent, just allow them, like give them the nod. It's okay to have a conversation with your coach. You don't need to coddle them. I know as a parent, you want to always help them out, and you might think like, yeah, I'm helping them out by speaking for them. But no, let your kid have a conversation with the coach, because that's what is going to help their relationship with the coach. So then they can further down the road have a healthy relationship, and you won't need to be there as a parent anymore. And that's going to help your kid not only in golf, but in life in general. Now, I would say for sure for parents is be there, be aware of your situation. I know it's hard. Everyone's got one and they just want to be on their phone. But when your kid is doing whatever sport it is, if it's golf or if it's hockey, be there, be aware. The amount of times that I've been at, you know, sporting events with my kids and I look down the stands and you see every parent on their phone, and then you see their kid skate up to the rink, skate up to the boards, and they're waving at their parent. Same thing happens, I'm sure, in golf lessons, right? Be aware there. Your kid might hit a good shot and yeah, wants to look at you and go, it's like, man, that was awesome. Look at that. Be there for that. Like that's how you can support them during the lesson.
Yeah, for sure. I agree with that. I think, you know, once again, as I look at junior golfers and I look at myself as a coach, and anymore, there's multiple coaches for these junior golfers, right? Anymore. And I look at the parents and anyone that's going to be around them as a team. And I think everyone has a role in the team. And I just want the parents to be engaged, number one. Absolutely, the parents have to be engaged. They have to know what to say and when to say it. And that is really tough to do as a parent, because as Jason, you just said, like, we always want our kids to succeed, and we hate to see our kids fail or feel less than. And as soon as that happens, parents are so quick to jump in and try to correct what just happened. And once again, sometimes we need to fail, and those kids need to learn from that failure so that they can take ownership in their game. Because ultimately, they're the ones out there in this sport that are hitting the shots. Not me, not mom, not dad, not their high school coach. You know, the kid is out there. They've got to be able to auto-correct. And I always say, I think the best players are the most adaptable players. They're not doing the same thing every time. They're able to adapt within a round of golf. And when we're just trying to fix every single bad shot, all we do is make things worse.
Obviously, this is under the context that every golfer is different. Every golfer parent relationship is different. Every golfer coach relationship is different. So there's a lot of it depends in any of these conversations that we'll probably have on this entire run of the podcast. But one of the things that I want to talk about then too is the parent that knows that they're going to be supporting kind of the golfer in their practice and their play and all that stuff afterward. When do you guys have any rules about like when they ask questions? Because I'm kind of two minds on whether the parent is not interrupting. That sounds like too bad a word, but like almost interrupting the lesson to say like, so why are we doing that? Or what is the point of that? And obviously I dislike it when they're just asking, like as if they're implying that they're not sure why I'm doing what I'm doing. I don't mind it so much when they're asking in the sense of like, what's the reason for this so that I know how to reinforce it later when we get home or something. But sometimes I'd rather those questions be at the end of the lesson, because we might be kind of middle of the process. But do you guys have any rules or guidelines for parents? Again, interrupting is not necessarily the best word, but interrupting the lessons or asking questions, even though their intent might be good, you know, to support the golfer later on, I find that it can kind of remove the golfer from the flow. And also, if the golfer understands it, I'd rather explain it to the parents later, even if the parent doesn't quite understand it.
Yeah, I would agree with that for sure. I definitely often, it's terrible language, but at the end of the lesson, when I do my recap with the student, I will often bring the parent in and go over it. Here's what we're working on. Here's the concepts. Here's the drills. I always give a video at the end of my lesson. Obviously, depending on how the age of the kid, it's either going to the kid or it's going to the parent. Here's what you want to work on. And then it becomes a team for them, right? As you mentioned, right? That the parent is a part of that golfer's team. Well, here's the drills that you can help your kid do at the range, at home. Do you understand them? review them, go over them, make sure that everyone has the proper concepts of how you're going to do it. So I like involving them. 100% agree with you. There should not be a big, you know, break inside that from the parent constantly going, what about that? Why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? What's this? Like, does he need to do that? That's the lesson isn't over yet. You're just there supporting until the lesson is over. Then you can come in.
Tyson.
Yeah. And I would say, I would say I deal with it quite a bit, to be honest. And I think more than ever, for one reason, I have more junior golfers that have a TrackMan at home than ever before, literally a TrackMan at home or some sort of practice device in the basement, in the garage, somewhere. And so parents definitely want to know, well, what are you working on? So when he's working at home or she's working at home, they don't get way off base, right? And so there are definitely times in a lesson where a parent will chirp in and ask a question. And if I feel like that parent has just asked like a very, very solid question, I will go ahead and pause and like, hey, let's elaborate on that because it's a great question. You know, once again, I say every day to these players, I don't have to be the person that gets it right. I just want to get it right for you. I consult with a lot of other coaches, with a lot of my players, because I want to make sure that I'm doing the right thing for my players. And if a parent asks a great question, heck, let's talk about it. If a parent asks a question that I don't feel is relevant at the time of the lesson, it's like, hey, we'll get back to that, right? I'm not going to dive into that right now, but I will make sure you have your answer by the end of this lesson. And it, you know, there have been a few parents over the years, it hasn't happened in quite a while, where I've been like, hey, can you go sit in your car? Like, you're not helping the lesson here. I just need you to go sit in the car right now and let me and your child sort of go through the flow.
Yeah, and that's a tough conversation to have sometimes because we've all had situations where clearly the child or the junior is anxious because their parent is there and they're you never know. You kind of imagine the parent is like, if I'm going to spend money on golf lessons, you're going to like pay attention. And like, you know, it almost turns into not an open partnership between the instructor and the coach. It turns into like a not fun thing for the junior. And so it's interesting to, it's a tough conversation to have as far as how you get a parent to go away. Sometimes I'll be like, hey, did you bring your clubs? You want to go hit some balls? You want to go hit some balls? Right down there, there's a lot of mats open. Go ahead, you know, or something like that. I don't think I've ever told a parent to go sit in their car, Tyson, but you're like, hey, don't you have a conference call that you could take? Hey, there's a Burger King down the street, you know. That takes some guts, I guess, but yeah, it's always, you got to get a read from the student. So I guess a big don't would be do not add anxiety to the situation. Whatever that means to you and your child, do not add anxiety to the situation. Do not make your kid nervous. They're already nervous. They want to perform. They want to do well, not just for you, but for themselves. And so I would think do not add anxiety to the situation. And a parent can do that without really knowing it. They think they're being helpful. They think they're being supportive, but you know, they're not supporting their kid. They're not listening to what their kid is saying. They're invalidating some of their kid's feelings when the kid says, I feel like I played okay. And they say, no, you played like crap. You know, you hit that thin shot on this hole and you chunked it on that hole and whatever. And the kid's like, dude, except for that, like in a couple bad breaks, I actually thought I played pretty well. So, you know, invalidating a kid's feelings can be an anxiety adder as well. So,
yeah, I would say, you know, I have 24-year-old twins. I have a boy and a girl. And neither one of them played golf. And I could not be more thankful that they didn't play golf because I don't think I could have coached them like I coach other people's children. I coached my kids in baseball and basketball and all the other things. And I didn't like the way that I coached them when they were six. And I stepped back. And like, I was always very thankful that they didn't really want to take up golf because I would not have wanted to make that experience that way for the child.
Yeah, it's sometimes hard to teach your own kids. And, you know, as I was mentioning earlier, sending my kids to, or my kid to golf camp, people are like, well, but you're a golf instructor. I'm like, yeah, but the basics at that age is, you know, grip, stance, posture, ball position. He can get that from the assistant at the club. More importantly, he needs to enjoy the game, which is playing with his buddies, finding friendships, getting out there and enjoying it. Once he starts enjoying it, then he's going to want to grind. That's when, you know, you can come back and go, all right, let's do a little bit of a deeper dive. And that's where you're going to want to find a really good coach that, you know, knows the swing and what you're looking for, and then allow, again, that bond, that relationship between your kid and that coach to really blossom, because then they're going to trust that coach and go, all right, he needs me to make this move. I can do this. I'm not, you know, worried about looking foolish inside a lesson or anything like that. I'm not worried about hitting bad shots inside that lesson. I just want to get better. So when I'm on the golf course, I hit it better there.
I think in possibly wrapping it up, the number one do almost goes back to, and I just thought of this based on what you guys said. Years before I had a kid, I just happened to read an article. I think Johnny Miller wrote it. I think it was in Golf Digest 20 plus years ago, because before I had a kid, my daughter's a senior at Methodist University and has played on the golf team there. The article said Johnny Miller's advice, if you were a parent that wanted to get your kid into golf, it was make sure they have fun at the golf course. It was, if they want to look for frogs in the pond, you look for frogs in the pond. If they want to run around through the bunker, as long as you can rake it up and make it not damage the course in any way. If they want to steer the cart, again, so long as they're not going to run into a tree, let them pretend they're steering the cart. You know, your hand's always on the bottom, kind of doing the actual steering. Make sure they have fun at the golf course and leave when they're ready to leave. Don't say, oh, I got three more holes to play. And so I think the number one do might be, and I'm just putting it out there, I think the number one do might be, make sure your kid has fun in golf. I have a lot of parents who like almost seem to be forcing golf lessons on their kid to be like, and the kid that doesn't necessarily want to be there. It turns it into a chore and a task and something their parent is making them do. And the kid might not even like golf yet, you know, or love golf yet. He might just be like, I played like twice and now I'm getting lessons and I'm hitting balls indoors and this doesn't seem fun.
Yeah, I think it's really hard to coach a kid who doesn't want to be there. And it's also hard at times for coaches and the parents, even for kids that are playing a little bit more golf, to forget that it's a kid. We want that kid, let's say they're coming in twice a month for lessons and they're playing in 15 tournaments in a summer, and you want the kid to succeed. But once again, it's really easy to forget that we're dealing with a kid, and our number one job is to make this kid love the game so they'll play it forever, period.
Yeah, I'd agree. I mean, I have two kids. I have a daughter, she's 13. She is no enjoyment of actually being on the golf course other than just being on the golf course with me and her brother. That's all I need for her, because I don't want to push her away from not wanting to do it. Maybe in 3 years, maybe in 5 years, maybe when she turns 30, she'll want to pick up a golf club because I never pushed her into it. Golf is a lifetime sport. It doesn't matter if you start when you're 8 or if you start when you're 30, but you got to enjoy it. And the worst thing you can do as a parent is push a kid so that he never wants to pick up a golf club again.
Great conversation, guys. That was a lot of fun for me. So that's going to do it for episode number 2 of the Spin Axis podcast. Do us a favor and please share the link to our show with your friends and on social media.
We're on X, Instagram, and Threads at The Spin Axis and on the web at thespinaxis.com.
Thanks again for listening. We'll be back soon with another episode and look forward to doing this for a long, long time.